You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
So the first 5 weeks of the season, I feel like outside of the NFC East, and it's an NFC East podcast, we've had nothing else to talk about around the league. And then this weekend just gave you everything you could want and more. So welcome to the Tailgate to Hell. It's the NFC East podcast for the common man. Let's start right outside the NFC East because I think there's most of the news from the weekend, or at least I feel like, came from outside the NFC East. And hey, it was a undefeated week for the NFC East as well.
Yeah, so really, I guess, three big stories. Of course, as you said, the NFC East, the three teams playing all won. We'll get to that. But first one, the major stories, and this is probably the biggest one, Aaron Rodgers, broken collarbone, possibly out for the season. I assume he's going to get the, they're not going to bring anybody back from IR. They're going to keep him ready to come back should they make a run. But now the question is, how good is this team? And
yesterday showed not very.
Yeah, I mean, for years.
I mean, he is just, he is on, we talk about Manning, we talk about Brady, we talk about Brees. Aaron Rodgers is just on a completely different level from those guys.
Yeah, and the thing about the Packers is that their offense, and speaking as a guy who whose team runs the Packers offense, is the most vanilla, know-nothing offense. It's literally just give Aaron Rodgers the ball and see what happens. I mean, he makes everything go. You know, the Packers aren't a terrible team talent wise across the board, but you know they're average without Rodgers. So,
and that division sucks.
Like, I know. I'm not saying they can't make it to the playoffs and maybe they get Rodgers back, but they're not.
Yeah, if you're the Packers, you just got to find a way to limp in.
Yeah,
and I mean the other quarterbacks in the division right now are Case Keenum. You have, I can even tell you the Packers, Brett Hundley, I think it's his name. You got Mitch Trubisky in Chicago, and then you got Stafford in Detroit. And, I mean, they gave up 52 points to the Saints yesterday, so.
There's a petition going around to get Brett Favre out of retirement to come play the rest of the season in Gray, which would actually be amazing if it happened, but I don't think it's going to stop. But, you know, think about the NFL. In the span of 7 days, you had Odell Beckham, J.J. Watt,
gone.
And Rodgers.
Gone.
And these are like, you know, injuries happen every week, but these are like three megastar level players that are gone. So tough, you know, tough week of injuries
for
sure.
Those three, and then you got another, you know, superstar on top of it in Ezekiel Elliott, who is going to be out. But I mean, I can't even follow or understand what the hell is going on. But as of today, he's suspended for the next six games.
Yeah, I mean, hey. You read what he did. He probably deserves it, but not good for the Cowboys. Certainly they were on their bye, and now they weren't doing great without or with him, and now it looks like he's not coming back. So I guess hand it to the league for getting one. I don't know. What a weird story. But it'll be interesting to see how Jerry Jones and Ezekiel Elliott respond and if that challenges – Goodell's power with the CBA and everything. And speaking of that,
yes. So we just went through the laundry list of the superstars who are not in the NFL. The most famous person in the National Football League right now, maybe the guy who is filing. He's filing a grievance against the NFL, alleging collusion, and that's Colin Kaepernick for the whole anthem thing,
right?
Which I don't think he could have possibly the day he took that first knee. Envisioned where the hell we would be almost a year and a half later.
Yeah, so he's saying that I don't know if he's suing or filing a grievance against the NFL or if it's like specifically against the ownership, but he's saying all 32 teams have colluded to not hire him because of the anthem, which is going to be impossible to prove, by the way.
Unless there is some email or something from
exactly.
Roger Goodell to everybody to
there's
prove.
Some smoking gun. But the interesting thing is, that as I think Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk reported it, is if or part of this grievance, if they prove collusion, it actually voids the entire collective bargaining agreement. So, you know, this becomes a really interesting scenario because I think the current CBA is up in 2019. Is that right?
I thought it was 2021, but it's within the next few years. It's coming up. And
yeah. So, you know, and clearly Goodell is the guy that nobody wants. They want to change the discipline thing. So, and the, you know, it's a very, it's not harmonious on either side, right? You've got the players, you've got the owners, you got Goodell, you've got some of the owners, you know, Kraft and Jerry Jones, I think would have no problem seeing Roger Goodell out the door. So it's sort of a crazy situation and a lot going on, and none of it has to do with anything on the field, which
football
is
related. Yeah. If Colin Kaepernick is able to successfully do this, I won't just buy his jersey. I will buy a box of them because it would be the one. I mean, and I don't even agree with, you know, the way he went about doing it in the first place. But just to see the owners now in the position that they're in, and I don't know. I mean, those guys are the biggest jerks on the planet, most of them. And it's just very interesting to see them and Roger Goodell in the spot that they're now in. I don't expect anything major to actually come from this, but just the news coverage and everything about it.
Yeah.
It's just not good for the NFL. Things continue to not be good for the NFL.
Remember when football was just football? When was the last time the lead story in the NFL has been something related to the actual game?
It's been a while. And especially the last couple of years, it's been a while. So, but hey, we press on. NFC East went 3-0 this week. I'll save the Giants for the end. We'll go in order of the games in the way that they were played. The Eagles, so impressive, 28-23 over the Panthers. We'll do with everybody the good, the great, the good, the bad, the stank. Starting with the Eagles, this is kind of just becoming a reoccurring thing. Carson Wentz continues to cruise. We'll put him in the great column. 16-30, 222 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And I feel like we say it every week, his stat line is not that impressive, but when you watch him actually play and maneuver the games, he just does an excellent job.
Yeah, he's starting to become a real superstar.
An issue. Yeah.
Yeah, in the league. Now, again, last year they got to about this point, and this is where the wheels fell off, and we'll see. If sophomore slump, all that stuff, I don't think it's going to happen. They look pretty good. They took care of their business against the Panthers. And, yeah, I mean, Wentz and then Jake Elliott, the kicker, who's just machine-gunning these field goals over 50 yards. Crazy.
And with pressure, too. Like, every time he lines up for one of those long ones, it's kind of in a crucial spot, and I'm like, all right, this is where they might miss and turn the game around. But he has been excellent. And then just in general, they lead the NFC East by a full game and a half at this point. Clearly playing so much better than anybody else. Their only loss is to the Chiefs. They've been great. So
now, they probably look like, with the Packers going down, the favorites at this point in the NFC. Especially considering some of the other losses and things yesterday, the Falcons.
Falcons, yeah, would be the one I would point to. And then they just lost to the Dolphins, who stink.
Now, that being said, the NFL is so bad this year that I'm of the belief that it's going to be like a team in week 14 who's got a win out to get in and gets hot will be the team that makes it from that side. So I'm not ready to anoint the Eagles yet, but I could see him be a number one seed. I could see all that stuff. They're in the driver's seat 6 weeks.
And I mean, we'll to get ahead of ourselves, but they play the Redskins on Monday night at home with a chance to go 2.5 games up in the division. And the Redskins, we'll talk about it. They're just battered and bruised, and it's going to be a tough matchup. So the good for the Eagles, defense continues to play well. They forced turnovers 3 on the day. Cam Newton also sacked twice. Cam Newton's not that good.
Something's happened to that guy since they lost the Super Bowl. He's not the same player. I mean, how long has he been in the league?
2010, I think, was his first year. 2010 or 2011.
So, you know, he's a guy that moves around. He's taking some hits. He's not a young, you know, so maybe, I don't know, maybe he's losing his spark. But, yeah, the Eagles defense, again, which is not at its peak, you know, in terms of people playing and whatever, is still getting it done. 3 INTs and Newton sacked twice. I mean, that's, I don't know.
He's a hard guy to bring down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of pressure. And Cam Newton ended up being the highest rusher. Good God. The next highest rusher.
8 yards.
Oh my God. That's terrible.
Oh, just terrible. But, so if you're looking for bads from the Eagles, you know, they had a couple pass interference calls. I know Jalen Mills, I think, had 2 on his own. They struggled a little bit with Calvin Benjamin. He had 99 yards on the day. But the big takeaway for me is penalties. 10 penalties, 136 yards. Eagles are a really good team, but they're not good enough to have penalties like that every week and continue to win.
Yeah, I agree. And it goes back to maybe Peterson is not really a guy you look at and think this is a guy who's gonna do it. But I agree. In fact, that could be, because I feel like that was their issue last year too, was they were sloppy, they were penalized. You look at their D coordinator who ran perhaps the biggest group of thugs in the NFL when he was the Detroit head coach. So something that's got to be overcome. Can they do it? I don't know. But really nothing you can really point to that's really, really bad on this team. First place by 1.5 games. And as I said, they're in the driver's seat with 10 games to go.
Yep. So as mentioned up next, they're home against the Redskins on Monday Night Football. They really can take a huge stronghold in the division, and they finished in fourth place last year. So their schedule, comparatively speaking to some of the other teams, is a lot easier. Up next, Washington Redskins hung on by the skin on their chin yesterday, 26-24 over the 49ers. We'll start with the one great thing I take away from this game is Chris Thompson is just awesome. He had 105 yards receiving, 33 yards rushing. Great day, but I mean the numbers are not that overwhelmingly impressive, but he's just the one guy. Every time he's touching the ball for the Redskins, good things are happening, and you can't say that about everybody.
Yeah, I mean they could move it yesterday. It got a little shady, but they've got some good players, and
we'll
then
we'll get to that.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean overall, listen, good teams win the games they're supposed to win. Great teams usually beat bad teams, but whatever. Good teams win the games they're supposed to win. So they won that game.
So otherwise, in the great column, I put Matt Ioannidis in there. If you're listening and you're not a Redskins fan, you probably never heard of this guy. He's been just dominant on the defensive
line.
Sounds
like a condition.
Yeah, right? Sack and a half yesterday, pressure all over the place. He's the guy you watch, and he's just shoving guards back into the quarterback. And they're going to need him because they find out today Jonathan Allen is going to be out a month. Not good, but the good from the game yesterday, Kirk Cousins was good. He seemed off to start, the first part of the day. He seemed
getting jitters auditioning for his new team.
Well, yeah, that's right. And his son was watching for the first time, so maybe that's it. He seemed like he just had to throw an interception on that one drive. But when push came to shove, and this is the one knock against him, he led two scoring drives to end the game. 25 of 37, 330, two touchdowns and an interception. He had 26 rushing yards and a touchdown as well to take the 9-point lead with just over 2 minutes remaining, which you thought would have closed the door, but it did not. But he had another good day, continues to play well. Skins controlled the ball very well yesterday as well. 36 to 23 minutes time of possession. They seemed to be in control. They just, I don't know, they let it get away. They fell asleep. They were up 17-0. We talked a couple weeks ago when the Eagles were playing the Cardinals, and we said this is a statement game. The Eagles go in there and blow the doors off the Cardinals. It looked like the Redskins were on their way yesterday, and then I don't know what the hell happened.
Well, they did. They replaced the quarterback, so they got a little of a spark, and maybe the 49ers started to believe and all that. So I think it was a combination of things, but whatever. The Skins really, when you look at the stats and everything, was probably not as close as the game appeared to be, even though, the 49ers had a shot at the end. But, and I guess that goes into the bad. They let the 49ers hang around. They went up 17-0. As I said, the 49ers made that change, got a little spark. And then the 49ers just came roaring back.
Yeah. The only other thing I'll put in the bad for the Redskins, because I got something special for the stank, injuries. Like, do they need a new training staff? I swear to God, if you watch the first quarter of that game, there was a guy down on every single play. Like, I don't get it.
I don't know. I used to think that about the Giants, and when they brought in the new guy and everyone was healthy last year, I was like, oh, this proves it. And then this year you look, everybody's hurt. So it just may be a freak thing. But there's definitely something to the way you train and rehab and all that stuff. And, not everybody has their own way of doing it. But I don't know. I think that's more
injuries, too. Like, they seemed like they were getting cramps and this and that. And I don't know. Yeah. Injury-wise, they're a mess. Josh Norman, Trent Williams.
Yeah. Williams may die on the football field, I think, at this point, watching that guy's career.
I feel like he could get shot in the leg and he'd still want to go out and play. I mean, he's tough as nails, but, he's been in the league now 7 years. This is his seventh or eighth season, one of the two. He was drafted in 2010. You know, at some point, he's just going to start to fall apart. Like, no two ways around it. Last but not least, the stank in this game, the referees. Two calls, one against each team. Against
who
the
was the ref? Was it Triplett?
No, it was not Triplett. I don't remember. I'll have to figure it out. They were not good, whoever the hell it was. But, you know, against the Redskins, that Vernon Davis fumble that went the other way for a touchdown, like, how does that not get overturned? There was a still shot of him, and that's not even the worst call of the day in across the league. The one in the Jets-Patriots game, like, replay is now turned into something it's not even intended to be, where it's everything is so nitpicky and stupid, but that was a garbage call and non-overturn. And then the one against the 49ers, where they're on the 40-yard line with seconds to play. They really just need three or four more yards on a hitch route or something, and they're lining up for a game-winning field goal. And they call the pass interference against Pierre Garçon. I don't know if it was a makeup call for the Vernon Davis thing or something, but that was garbage and basically handed the Redskins a victory.
Well, I thought that it was going to improve a little bit with the New York office being involved in it now, but I honestly just think it comes down to no one in the NFL actually knows the rules. There's too much interpretation. I mean, we could go, we could list the litany of these stupid things where, you know, to everybody it's clear. And then I don't know if the catch is maybe because they say it has to be undeniable, 100% conclusive proof or whatever. So maybe they tell these refs, if you have a twinge of doubt, you know, don't overturn it. But that's still insane. So
yeah, it's nuts. And replay, it's not even just football. Like, you look at the way it's used in hockey, it's become something it's not supposed to be. Same with baseball. It sucks. And the refs sucked yesterday. But it went both ways, so I guess it's a wash. Up next for the Redskins at Philadelphia on Monday Night Football. So we're 7 weeks in. This is the moment you've been waiting for. Giants win 23-10 over the Broncos. Knock some people, I think my dad included, out of a survivor pool. What the hell happened?
Well, look what happened in Denver. So, the players played a hell of a game. I mean, I'll give them credit. They came out, they were crazy, and they didn't quit on the team. That's my great for this week, is that I figured most of these guys would just pack it in and do nothing. And they did it. They came out and went nuts. So I'm going to give a great slash good to a total team effort, and just run down some of these guys here, as part of the box score. So Eli Manning, 11 of 19, 128 yards, one touchdown. You know, not a eye popping stat, but when you consider he had no wide receivers, literally, he was teaching the guys how to play wide receiver before the game. Long live Eli Manning. And anybody who says we should trade Eli Manning or he's over his prime, you can shut the F up. Okay, Orleans Darkwood, 21 rushes, 117 yards. Oh, now my blood's going to boil starting to talk about some of this stuff. Evan Ingram, 5 catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown. On the defense, 3 turnovers. Landon Collins, 1 interception. Janoris Jenkins, an interception and a forced fumble. The Broncos couldn't rush at all, and JPP, monster game, 3 sacks, and Damon Harrison, 1 snack. Damon Snacks Harrison had 1 sack. So, you know, overall, they reconfigured the line. They put Flowers at left tackle, Jerry at left guard, Brett Jones at center, Weston Richburg, who 2 years ago was considered the best center in the league, is going to be out of the league next year because Brett Jones has taken that job. They put Fluker in, who's San Diego cast off, not a great player, but better than the bums they had in before. And then they kick Justin Pugh out to right tackle, and all of a sudden they can move the ball on a very good defense. So overall, great and good. They won the game. They played a good game, a lot of good individual performances. I will say Evan Ingram, this dude may be like a Tony Gonzalez type of player. I mean, his speed is unbelievable. He's had a great start to the year, so we'll see if that can keep up. So the bad. What are you doing winning football games? How stupid is this? Oh, my God. They're going to go 6 and whatever, 5 and whatever, and get the 10th overall pick, in this whole – no playoffs, no top three pick, and I just have suffered through this season for nothing. And well, then they'll be convinced that Jerry Jones and Ben McAdoo just got a bad hand this year, so we should give them another try next year. What the hell? Even the Giants can screw up the tank. And don't – I know there are people today – and this goes to show you, A, how bad that league is right now and how high the expectations were for the Giants, because people were actually talking like all of a sudden the Giants had a shot. They're going nowhere, all right? They had – I don't know how much total offense, less than 130 yards passing and you know, about 150 on the ground. That ain't very good. So we'll see. See, they may win a few more games. But why are you winning these games? Try to keep it to three or less. Please.
I don't know. Three out of the next four at home, you never know what could happen.
Oh, don't even. Here's the thing. Ben McAdoo is a piece of shit, okay? I'm just going to say. This guy.
Got what? Cool pants, though.
Oh, my God. Okay. This offensive line, all season he was asked why they weren't trying different combinations when the whole world could tell that offensive line stunk. And he just blew it off. And, of course, they reconfigured the line. They got Bobby Hart out. They moved guys over. And all of a sudden they can run the ball. And, they got some movement last week, too, when they put some of these guys in. Ben McAdoo, I need to call the plays. I'm a genius play caller. Well, guess what, you fat tub of shit? You had nothing, no offense for 5 weeks. And you finally, I guarantee you, he was forced to give up the play calling. And all of a sudden Mike Sullivan's got this team humming. On drives with nobody talent. His excuse was the whole team needed me this week. Well, no shit, you're the head coach. What do you expect? Oh, I hate that guy. Okay, next. Here's the other thing he screwed up. Orleans Darkwood. Guy looked like the whole year like he was the guy that could move the ball, could get something going, and he was benched behind Paul Perkins, who's a bum. They finally put Darkwood in. First they put Gallman in, who's a rookie who played okay, 9-for-27. He looked good a few weeks ago, but still they benched Darkwood. Darkwood for the last 2 years has been the best back on the team, and they won't let him play. They put him in. He goes 21, a buck 17 career high for him. What else? I don't know. This team, Ben McAdoo, everyone's like, oh, McAdoo responded and blah, blah, blah. That game last night.
Too little, too late.
That game proved that he should be fired because 6 weeks in, he finally made the changes he should have made 3 weeks ago to give this team a chance. Giants. Whatever. I'm happy you got a win. Don't win anymore. Up next versus Seattle at home. Good God. My gut is in a knot because I feel like they're going to win this game against Seattle at home. And then they're going to be 2-5 into the break, and it's going to be like, oh, here we go.
Then the games start to get played. And
6-10 season that totally ruins everything for us. Ugh. I mean, I can't. I've heard so much about McAdoo, rallying the troops and blah, blah, blah. All that game proved was that if he was any type of head coach, he could have made those changes 3 weeks ago and gotten his team in a better chance, and he didn't do it. So there you go.
All right, break time. We'll be back with the stink rankings and get out of here on the Tailgates of Hell.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.
Stank ranking times back here on the Tailgates of Hell. Let's see if there's any movement. We'll start at number 28. Did you get everything out you needed to on the New York Giants? I still got them in here at 1-5.
Yes, good. You know what? They don't. They deserve a little bit higher of a than I given them the pass. It's a really good performance, but they still 1-5. Let's hope that they don't get any higher than that.
Number 29, Indianapolis Colts. They're 2-3, the best record percentage wise on the Stank rankings, but. I don't know. They stink.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that whole AFC South, it's been this way for, I feel like, 3 years ever since the Colts lost that NFC or AFC championship game. You've been saying it all week, Tony Luck. Oh my God, I'm all over the place. Is Andrew Luck. Well, let me just pause for 1 second and say that I love Tony Romo as a commentator.
Oh, me
too. He's such a, like, cornball, cheeseball, but it's but anyway. Will Andrew Luck ever come back this year? We'll see, but I agree with you. good spot for the Colts.
Number 30, surprise team, but what the hell is going on in Oakland? The Oakland Raiders have lost four in a row. They stink.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team I could see maybe getting hot, you know, down the road, but this is certainly not what anybody expected from the Raiders this year, especially me. I mean, I thought they were my Super Bowl pick.
Through 2 weeks, they look great.
Yeah, and now they're only one more game than the Giants. It's incredible. So, we'll see.
Gonna round it out with the 0-6 teams. Number 31, I mean, this team is fighting like crazy. Outside of week one where they lost by 20 to the Panthers, every loss has been within three. That's five straight losses within three. They play the Cowboys this week. They could, at home, although what the hell's home field advantage against Dallas and San Francisco?
That place will be, how do they even play in San Francisco? I know they're not in San Francisco. They're in Santa Clara, but I mean, it's not exactly optimal conditions
right
out there in Northern California right now. You know, the interesting thing about the 49ers is they get the number one pick and they sign Kirk Cousins next year, so they can get their quarterback and then get top of the round without having to build around a rookie. That team could go from worst to first in a hurry, depending on how things break for them this year.
The Redskins at this point are going to have no choice but to franchise Kirk Cousins at $35 million or whatever it is. Like, this has gotten so out of control. It's like a slot machine, and Kirk Cousins is just pulling the lever, and it's just, I mean, it's ridiculous.
And he wins every time.
I know. And he's, I mean, this is a conversation for another day, but why would he sign a long-term contract? You're getting 1 year at 35. He's taken him for $120 million by the time this is over with.
I mean, he's gotten what most six-year long-term deals are from 3 years.
Fully so guaranteed. Oh my God, he's doing something right. Last but not least, a team that just cannot do anything. They got blown out again. Cleveland Browns, 0-6. They will announce their starting quarterback Wednesday, and I saw a tweet. Is that for the rest of the season, or are they just going to do that every Wednesday? Like, I can't believe that they've fallen apart. Not fallen apart, but I thought they would be at least average this year. They suck.
They may go 0-16 this year, and I saw that their Kaiser from Notre Dame retweeted the Browns are the worst organization in professional sports. So there you go. I mean, I don't know what you do at this point. And then you factor in that they could have had Wentz. You know, they could have had any litany of players, and this team just doesn't produce.
Moneyball, man.
Doesn't work. You know, you knew they were in trouble the year that Haslam bought the team and he got indicted by the feds for illegal taxing or something like that.
Always fun in this league. That's week six. Week seven's coming up next week. We'll preview it for you here on the Tailgate Tale.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter @tailgatesofhell.